Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it moving.
You've got before us.
My view sounds like he's like some better God person, like from way back.
God before us.
God before us.
Yo.
That's crazy.
So welcome to The Point, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in for a special episode. Today we're going to be talking about a recent horrific tragedy that happened in London, in the borough of Kensington and Chelsea, the Grenfell Tower, that on Wednesday the 14th of June caught ablaze. And we're just going to be discussing that and the kind of implications of how did this fire start? Why did it start? Is it part of a wider plan? You know, and what does it mean for London, as London's been going through quite a lot of attacks and the sort over the last few weeks. So joining us today, so it's your boys Afo, Mike and Enoch, as usual. Joining us today, we've got some special guests, but I'll let them introduce themselves.
Ah, I've got to put it on the spot.
Foot on the spot, bro. Foot on the spot.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, RK.
Raw, man.
Cheese.
Yo, you know you're going to put that radio away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Gemini.
Radio voice.
It's got to be done.
Yep, and to the left of Rob.
Yeah, my name's Musty.
Musty, what's going on?
Yeah, man, I'm good. Yo, man, I'm good.
Let me try it as well.
Talk close to the mic. And yeah, to my left, Oya.
Hey, everyone. My name's Bola. Silent G, if you don't know.
Cheese.
Cheese. Like the G in lasagna.
Silent G. You're not so dumb. Let's really introduce.
What's happening? My name's Philippe. Just here.
Yeah, yes, Philippe. Welcome to the show, lads. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, we've selected these groups, this group of people, for specific purposes, and we'll get into that a bit later on why we've chosen them specifically to join the show today. But yeah, just to start off, just to give some facts about what happened at Grenfell. So you will all obviously know because of the media coverage that's been on it. So Wednesday, the 14th of June, Grenfell Tower, in the early hours of the morning, was set ablaze by a fridge that sparked up.
Yep.
Now, not only did the fridge spark up and you know, set alight the flat that it was in, but the cladding on the side of the Grenfell Tower actually caught fire as well, which caused the fire to escalate much further than it should have, and it actually went right up inside the building and affected all the other houses that were there. Grenfell is a 24-story building, and it has about 200 flats in there. So you can imagine the severity and the panic that was going on at the scene. Open your thoughts. What do you guys think about what's happened? What was your initial kind of thoughts when you first saw this being covered on the news? How did you hear about it, etc.?
I woke up to the news. Okay. A friend of mine actually sent me a photo of the tower ablaze.
Yeah.
I was like, look what happened. Please, like, keep the people, the victims in your prayers and stuff and all this stuff. Mm. And first initial thought for me, I got scared. Like, just fear straight away, because I live in a block of flats as well. Mm. And it actually kind of reminded, it looked like my home, do you know what I mean? So when I saw it, I pretty much, it was more of like, this is my flat. But then obviously kind of, because I'd just woken up at the time, I was kind of confused. But after a while, kind of gathered and saw the news and everything. And then I was like, rah. But yeah, nah, the first initial thought for me was like, I was just scared. Mm-hmm. Just in general, I was just scared. And then afterwards, I started to feel sympathy, empathy and all that. But yeah, it's all crazy. I just find the whole situation dodgy, but we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. Cool. Anyone else?
It's funny, I came downstairs and my dad was in the living room and the TV was on. And then that's the first thing that I saw. And I didn't actually know what to think, because you know, in the news, most times it's always bad news that you see. So for me, I didn't feel anything until I started hearing that people had died. Because of course people had survived, but when I started hearing that people died, it was first initially 11, then 17, and then I just, it was more anger. I had anger towards the people that managed the building because innocent people had died. And then I also saw on Twitter that there were kids that were in the flat and they were screaming. Mm. They were screaming, "Help us, help us." Mm. And that, like, for me, that was heart-wrenching because these are innocent children that haven't done anything and they're dying due to the negligence of other people. And so that was my initial feeling.
Actually, my friend was actually filming it on Facebook Live. Wow. So literally his block is like, obviously you can see literally like the whole of the Greenfield Tower from his block. So you can literally just see this, like, do you know Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Fam, I'm not even gonna lie, it looked like this.
Yes.
It looked like, it was terrible. It looked like hell, right?
Yeah, hell, exactly. What
is going on here? So I saw this, I was like, what's going on? So obviously I saw it on his, and then I started to see all the reports coming in. I was thinking, this is like, obviously I thought it was like another like terrorist thing happening, but I didn't realize because I was like really like, I just woken up, right? Because my cousin texted me and he was just like, oh, be safe, like apparently there's a madness or whatever. So I thought it was just another like London Bridge type thing or whatever, right? And then I saw that, and then I started to realize it was actually like an accident. It was a fire, right, at a residential block. And then obviously the first thought was for me, like all the people that are in there, because by the time I saw it, it was literally like pretty much like burned all the way through. And it was just like literally a lit, like a massive matchstick just right in the middle. Yeah. Crazy.
Mad. For me, it was, so I was scrolling through Snapchat, actually. And one of my girls on Snap, she just tweeted, she was just like, what's happening in London? I was like, what's happening again? It's me thinking, like, it's another terrorist thing. It's another kind of thing. So I went on Twitter and then someone put a picture up saying, oh, I can see the fire from my block. I'm like, fire, like, what's going on? So I looked at the news in the morning on the way to work and I see the pictures coming up. I see the fire and I'm thinking, rah, like, this is actually peak. Mm. And it's not like a fire where, you know, maybe one or two flats is affected. You're seeing a whole building. I'm thinking to myself, I live in a block of flats. You know what I'm saying? Like, what actually happened here? What caused the fire? And then you start seeing the residents, they're getting angry, they're coming out. And then from that point, I was just like, you know, all the reports started coming in about how the cladding was dodgy and all of this and all of that. And I was thinking, like, these guys actually put up dodgy cladding.
They knew
what the cladding was. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Right, and then that paired with the fact that I don't know if you guys saw, but an LBC, there's a, I can't remember the guy's name, but he said he actually came across a letter from the council around about the time that the cladding was being put up, right? And this letter was sent out to the richest, obviously it's the richest borough arguably in the world,
yep.
Right, saying to them that because of how efficiently the council has spent money, that they're gonna give everybody a refund of £100 off of their council tax bill. The same council money that's supposed to be used to be building this cladding. Around about the same time, they were giving discounts to people on their council tax of £100 because of how well they'd managed money over the years. And the letter goes on to boast about how well they've done. And putting those two things together, shortly after that, by the way, there was an election where a lot of Conservatives won seats. Because council was a Conservative council.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a genius to put.
I believe the conspiracy theories. I can't even.
So I'm saying,
I believe them.
A lot of them. When I saw this thing on LBC, that even made me more vexed. Like,
yeah.
Yo, B. So you mean to tell me that? Okay, there's one thing to speculate that they did this on purpose, but when you actually see that and look at the political reasons behind it, and then the residents start coming out and saying how they had fears that this was going to happen
because
and they've been pushing it forward and nobody's done anything. Exactly. And then you start to see the story that builds up behind it and then you start to realise this could have been avoided.
It could have been.
At that point, I started getting vexed. Mm. Like, you lot could have actually avoided this. And it's when you see Ocala coming out saying they died because they were poor. Deep that.
That.
I believe that is true.
Yeah. He said rich people would not have a house
Never.
Without sprinklers in.
Yeah,
exactly.
Basic fire absolutely. Needs.
Fire yeah. needs basic. Basic.
Basic. All
there was no. There was no fire extinguishers. No exactly. sprinklers. Nothing.
All those luxury flats that they built and they're trying to fix the eyesore.
Yeah.
Go in them luxury flats. Tell me if you don't see sprinklers.
Right. And it was reported that the sprinkler system would only cost 300,000. But the project, itself, like to install the cladding was £10 million.
Where did they put the 10 million?
Exactly. I don't believe it cost 10 million.
Of course,
to do all of that. Come on.
It's not even as if it's the whole block. One block for 10 mil.
I think it was more than that, you know? Yeah. I think it was more than that. I looked it up and there was a few companies that were contracted into like
bidding for it.
Yeah, no, to renovate the block.
Yeah. So the refurbishment.
So like basically like companies like Ryden and Harley and Witt as well. Like so they were paid. So like Ryden was paid like I think 8.6 million. And Harley was paid 2.6, or is it? Yeah, 2.6 mil.
And
that's to like basically work on the cladding. I think Harley was doing the cladding, Ryden was doing like the whole thing.
It's ridiculous.
And it's
that's crazy.
It's actually ridiculous.
What's like how much as well money? Is
pardon?
I saw the video of David Lammy. I don't know if you guys saw that as well, where he said that there were certain companies that had worked on his cladding. Post Grenfell, go on their website
and it's disappeared.
Of course.
It's like if you knew you did it right, why are you scared?
Yeah, what's their time?
It's just
speaking of websites, let's just take it back a little bit as well. So I went on the Housing Association's website, so Kensington and Chelsea's TMO, which everybody is obviously very angry with, and they said that their values, they've got a list of their values on the website, and it says, values, delighting residents and customers by exceeding expectations, being open and accountable for all we do, valuing the individuality and culture of residents, staff and communities, and inspiring change for the better by improving homes and communities.
What's this
and I
council?
Just thought that was absolutely. Funny, because... Terrible. Clearly, they weren't open and accountable. They were hiding. People had to go and storm in there and
they
protest.
They didn't meet any of those.
They didn't meet any of their values.
Like, they just didn't meet any of
those
values.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, are you talking about the council?
Yeah, KCTMO. They also said that their key objectives are to keep residents and customers at the centre of everything we do.
Bro, it's flower talk. That flower. Right there is flower talk.
Apparently, they never really had a good relationship with the actual tenants anyway.
Yeah. Nah,
like apparently, they've had a bad... Like,
so you go and burn them alive.
That's the attitude of most councils within London.
This ain't even a council. Because it was a non-profit...
No, but what I'm trying to say is like just the attitude, the treatment of... people who are of the working class. It's a very common, it's a common way of thinking that most councils have. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, my nan, she lives by herself. So she has a bungalow. And there was one time, she's allowed to have like a nurse come to her house and check her up regularly. And there was one time the nurse said that, oh, I can't get into the house. I can't get into the house. So she left. Mm. When she knows that she could have called any of us in the family, and then we would have been able to, you know, help her out and get her in. Because there's nothing wrong with the door, but just that you know, that attitude of not caring, of not trying, it's something that is spread across London. Because, I personally believe, just because of what I've been through and from what I've heard from Grenfell, because they had constantly been telling the council that this block of flats is not fit for purpose. Mm. It's not safe. They ignored everything that they said, all their claims. And now people have had to die because of their negligence. Mm. And now they're playing the blame game, because it was reported today, the police said that it was a Hotpoint branded refrigerator that caused the fire. So now they're bringing Hotpoint into
that,
it.
That has nothing to do with it spreading.
They're trying to now.
Nothing to do with it spreading.
And listen. Go on, sorry.
No, I was just saying, do you know what it is that vexed me, yeah? I know you're going to have a point, but this is a bit of a sad note. It's like, how did these... You're telling me you can't tell us how many people have died, but you can identify a Hotpoint fridge.
Tell me.
From a minute.
Mic drop.
You can
Catch it.
You can identify a Hotpoint. The fire was so hot, they called it an inferno. They stopped calling it a fire.
Yeah.
They said it was an inferno. You mean to tell me if there was an inferno, you can go in and identify.
Oh,
that's
Hotpoint.
That's true. That thing should have been...
The Hotpoint label is burnt to crisp. Like, it's not...
Bro, the Hotpoint thing is disappeared.
The fridge is gone.
The fridge is gone. Overuse the fridge anyway.
The fridge is gone.
That's ridiculous. But the point is like... And the thing is, I've clocked that a lot of these, the people that are responsible are just deflecting sort of the blame onto people.
Yeah.
Scapegoating every, like, oh, let's go to Hot Point. Bruv, yeah. Like, at the end of the day, listen, even if the Hot Point thing exploded,
yeah,
it should, like, if the building was really built or, you know, the job was done properly, it would have been contained.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Really, truly,
it would have been contained, right? Yeah, there still would have been a fire, but it would not.
It would have been contained within the flat. There were some people that were saying, even with the cladding, some people had
would not
made the,
the whole thing
the
like
argument that
100%.
When they were smoking outside, like on the balcony, the cladding will be catching fire.
Oh, red flag.
And they mentioned that to the council.
Guys, I'm just gonna. This is breaking news that right now, yeah, because of my Sky notifications. A tower block in Camden is being evacuated for. A tower block in Camden is being evacuated over cladding fears after the Grenfell Tower fire.
Alongside that, there are 600 other high-rise buildings in London that have the same cladding on them. So,
what scares me as well
is madness.
So, where I live, right? I live in Cherry Orchard Estate.
Boop!
Don't see Bob saying boop.
There was a time
where I wouldn't have said that. Anyway,
ends, like, man. Come on, that's home.
Like, I live in Cherry Orchard Estate, right? It's calmed down a lot over the years, but Afo will know, because me and Afo go way back. We went to Cherry Orchard Primary School together, so we know each other since reception.
20 years.
20 years strong, right? Crazy. That area used to be slums. Like, when I tell you the houses were all this and that, recently, over the last few years, they put up some cladding around the house.
To make it look nice.
And to insulate it, that's what they're going to insulate it. Now, my theory is, what material have they used to put that cladding up? No one knows. Just what I'm saying. You were saying you live in a block of flats as well. I don't know whether they've cladded up your building too.
But they ain't touching my building.
It makes me genuinely scared.
Like, they said there's 600 flats around London. I don't really live in a high rise. You know that. My block is only about four levels high. It's not like a high rise building, but the whole estate got cladded. It wasn't just my house. That the whole estate, Blaker Court, Fairlawn Court, everywhere got cladded. So I'm thinking, what have they actually used on this cladding? And it wasn't just there. Like, even down in Springfield, Retrofield Crescent, anybody who knows that kind of area.
Springfield, yeah, it got cladded. They got cladding on, as well. On
and Springfield.
Springfield
actually has mad high rise buildings.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't even think about that.
I'm thinking to myself, yo, if there's 600 flats that are our flats part of that, do you know what I'm saying? Like, who's actually done this work? How has it been approved? Because clearly all the fire and safety standards are being ignored.
Basically, our lives are valued based on your skin color and status.
But hold on, before you call that one, we'll get into that.
Grenfell Tower was built for low income.
I hear where Afro's coming from.
Yeah,
like it was built for.
We're gonna get into that
fully. Like, most of the people that were speaking were of color.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that's why I said status as well. Yeah. So you could be white and in a
class,
could be white and working class and living in their flats.
Probably a class thing.
What burned me the most is the most of the people I saw talking either had accents, or they were working class, or they were people of color.
Yeah.
Even celebrities that had come from a working class background, like Lily Allen, went there down there.
She lives there.
She still lives in the area, but she used to live in the block.
Oh, really?
Like, she used to live there and go knock for people there. I saw a video of some woman. She said, "I've come down here to help my friends, but I don't see none of them. Why are they lying about who's dying?"
She was angry.
She was like, "Where are they? Obviously, everyone's bringing donations, but
DJ Isla. DJ Isla.
And I was like,
right.
You know what? I was like,
where the money's going to.
Mm.
Because everyone's doing all these donations, all this giving to charity, but it's like, where. Everything's going to go
back to where the payouts
and where are the charities?
I'm going to sell it somewhere else, and that's why she's vexed.
Of course,
absolutely,
she's right. There's a lot of money going into it, and she's asking like reasonable questions towards all the food we're bringing, all the money and clothes.
Who's
it
going to?
Yeah,
and furthermore, I heard about like the current donations and the way they're distributed is very like uneven. Like they're not like paying it out properly, etc.
Even Teresa's scumbag May, man. her response, both.
Do you know what? Can I just put a balanced argument to that? Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Conservatives, right? That's just a personal thing. I vote Labour. I'll always vote Labour. That's
Conservatives.
Me, right? But to put a balanced argument to that, right? From a political perspective, went down and thought, you know what? Let me go down. Let me talk to the people that are helping. Let me go see people in private. That's who I am. That's what I do. That's always been her narrative, right? Now, as much as people respect Jeremy Corbyn for going down and chatting to the people, there isn't actually anything of a difference that he could have made. The only thing that he did was he took, I mean, people are saying he took advantage of a photo op opportunity, right? Mm. Jeremy's always been a man of the people. He would do that. The only thing that he had is he went down and he consoled them. He could never make a difference, right? Mm. But just consoling them was enough.
That was enough.
You didn't have to do anything except just show that you understand. And Theresa May, when she went down there, it's never been her narrative.
The thing as well is that area, a lot of people voted Labour within that area. Yeah. So that's
not
even her constituency.
That's incorrect because Kensington used to be, they won by like 20
Kensington
votes.
Kensington has traditionally always been a Conservative.
Yeah, that's why it was such a surprise when
Kensington
they won.
Yeah, Kensington is one of the richest, if not the richest borough in London, and it's also the smallest, yeah? But Labour won by like 20 votes.
They had to recount three times. But what got me about that whole situation, which was funny, was that the argument was that she has security fears, and then the Queen and William go down and, you know, shake everybody's hands.
I can't even lie. That's a.
Do you know what?
If the Queen and Prince William can go down there,
but no one hates the Queen and Prince William, though.
Yeah,
but
you know what? Yeah, no one exactly.
No one what?
No one hates the Queen and Prince William.
She can't interact with people. She can't. Nah. You'll see her with previous interviews. She doesn't know how to be a. She doesn't know how to be a people's person.
She's not
a people's person. She's not.
That's why during the campaign, she didn't appear on debates.
Even when she does stuff, like, it just looks awkward. Doesn't flow naturally. As Jeremy Corbyn.
So even her advisors,
I can be understanding her advisor went, no, just don't do it.
Yeah, like, it's not her.
It's not her. It wouldn't. Even there, she might just. Even when she was even consoling all the firefighters, she didn't even look comfortable.
Yeah. And so let's get into that then. What do we think about the political leaders and how they went about it? Because we know Sadiq Khan.
Bro, that's the dumb response for our Instacar.
Yeah, 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 there you go.
Put some respect on his name. On his name.
Sorry, Sadiq Khan.
Sadiq Khan
went down there, and obviously, Mayor of London is in the midst and the heart of it, and people are saying to him, what are you going to do about it?
I saw that little kid in it.
I was like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I remember. Rightly so.
How do you feel the political leaders went about it? I've got a few as well.
First off, I couldn't expect anything from the Labour Party politically because they're not in power, so there's not really much that they can do. I expected a swift response from the Conservative Party. Because
especially that is a lasting.
Yeah, because you have to consider that one, these people are homeless. They have nowhere to go. Mm. They're being put in sports centers, community centers to stay temporarily. But they are going to require homes. They only recently just bought luxury homes rehouse these people because of the pressure that they were under.
Imagine.
But their initial response was disgusting.
Preston, they wanted
it was
to
disgusting,
them
man. They were Preston. Trying to push Preston. People to Preston. Preston.
Way out.
This happens
Where?
On a, this happens crazy. On a regular, even during gentrification. Yeah, and we're gonna talk about that as well.
Yo,
even that pisses me off. No. This is hit home, man. No.
Literally. Listen, don't blow up, you know. Man's looking like he's gonna blow up now. Like,
Robbie, what was you gonna say, bro?
The initial response is disgusting.
No,
it's only because of the pressure. And to be honest, it's only because Jeremy Corbyn, man's playing chess, you know. Like, he's really, really playing chess. Because him just going down there and consoling with the people.
Big move.
Both, that's a big move.
That's a big move.
Excellent. You don't look at the latest polls. Man's leading.
But you know what? Do you know what's excellent about that move as well, right? And talking from a semi-political background, student politics. Mm. What's excellent about that move is that's always been his narrative. Yeah. So he didn't have to do anything extra.
Extra.
Although politically, it was the best possible thing for him to do. But
it
why it made so much sense is I think it was tactical.
Okay.
Because why?
But
it made
genuine
so
at the same
much,
time.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It was it a genuine tactical, yeah. But it's actually
that's,
a
that's why
natural,
it made
yeah.
so much political sense because the tactics and the personality just aligned.
Oh.
And he didn't have to do nothing extra. Whereas Theresa May would have actually had to try.
Yes.
And that. Whichever way she went, she probably would have been slewed anyways. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
But at least she was screwed. At least go into the communities and talk to the people that are affected. Man.
Yeah.
I know she brought some people like to 10 Downing Street, but bro, like
that's not what we want. We want to go into the community and you talk to that woman that has.
What
are
you doing?
What? Why?
Were you gonna say something, bro? Go on.
The point is, a lot of politicians got it wrong. Like. Yeah. At the end of the day, all the people want is someone that can relate to them and
genuine.
Genuine, man. Just come into the, you know, community and actually understand and see our problems like firsthand.
Yeah.
You can't watch it from 10 Downing Street, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Theresa May looks like a scarecrow. Continue.
Yeah, that's why she runs through fields of wheat.
She does entirely.
Bloody hell. Yo! I can't believe that.
That is actually a joke.
What's crazy. The naughtiest thing you've ever done? Oh, yo,
whenever
God,
you're in
a
position of power, any situation that arises, you have to use confidence and, you know, apply yourself correctly.
Corbyn's got it on point.
Take time to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, gather your thoughts.
Yeah.
And attack the situation at hand. Yeah. And try your best at the end of the day. I mean, people voted for you because they had belief in you.
Yeah.
They had faith in you. I'm a man of faith, so I have faith in God. But that's another conversation. But lead the people correctly.
Mm.
You know, strap your belt, you know, buckle down and take action.
I think her problem is, I know this is slightly an off topic, but I think her problem is she's trying too much to be Thatcher.
Yep.
She's
she needs to start with that whole trying to emulate Thatcher.
And this is the thing about Thatcher. I've seen this thing on Twitter as well, right? The thing about Thatcher is that people disagreed with her, but people could also agree with her.
Mm.
She had some things where she was right, some things where she was wrong, right? Whereas with Theresa May, a lot of people just don't even get what she's about, what she's saying.
Yeah. That's no idea.
And that's the difference. You don't actually have anything to agree
she's
or disagree
scripted.
With.
Because she's the scripted. Irony you of her strong and stable...
She's scripted and she's platonic about everything.
I've never heard a fair answer from this woman yet.
The funny thing is...
Yeah. Never.
I've never heard a concrete
or a
like
compassionate
and a definite yeah. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Despite all the,
I don't even mean to make this political, but when she was on Andrew Marr's show during the election campaign, Andrew Marr specifically asked her, "Okay, so you promised, I can't remember exactly how much for the NHS, but I think it's between 5 and 8 billion. Yeah, you've promised so and so amount money. Yeah, that is going to be pumped into the NHS." Where are you going to get the money from? She said, "Well, what we have done
the stability of the country.
We have decided that we are going to look at the services that we already provide, and we will make the certain cuts, and we will move the money."
Bro,
and
you ain't got the answers.
Basically,
you ain't got the answers, Theresa.
You ain't got the answers,
you ain't got the answers,
Theresa. Basically, there isn't an extra so-and-so billion pounds for the NHS. Yeah. All you're doing is you're going to make additional cuts to services that are already available
that people
and put
need
the money to the NHS.
On that
don't even resolve the issue, bro.
On that as well.
But anyways.
On that as well, you know, we're talking about the compassion of like how politicians handled this issue. Afo's vexing. We're talking about the compassion, but how they handled it, right?
Yeah.
Looking at that election thing, remember that debate when Corbyn went up, he answered questions and Theresa was up before him.
Yeah.
They asked her about, someone asked some woman from the NHS, just asked her about some stuff and cuts and whatever.
Yeah,
and her response was, there's only one pie. There isn't some magical money tree that can come. That was her reaction.
Wow.
Whereas Jeremy asked the same similar question, answered with compassion. Mm. And that's the difference between the two of them.
And that's why people bought into
Jeremy
because of the
genuine
compassion.
Yeah.
You can have facts, but it's the way you deliver it.
I'm not saying he's not without
thing.
Flaw.
Of course,
yeah.
No one
say
is.
That.
But in this current situation, the way him and the Labour Party have stepped up and handled it, they've made it themselves a strong opposition.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also easier to do that in the position of opposition because no one's relying on
you to do anything.
I think
that's
if Labour was in power, people would be just as vexed with, but vexed with them like they are with the Conservatives.
Because they're the ones
that can do something.
Labour's got a position right now,
and
I can't lie.
The Conservative leader isn't actually doing
much. Exactly, yeah.
They have so much opportunity to capitalise on this and actually show the people that, we will fight for you. Mm. They've put houses up because of the pressure from Jeremy. The letter he wrote to Theresa.
Exactly.
That is what an opposition party should be doing.
It's like a lobbying. Like a lobbyist.
Literally.
Yeah.
So honestly, that I think the Labour Party's handled it well. The Conservative politicians have been very
There's no compassion.
That's what they've done.
It. People have died, man. People
this
died. Green,
this
children.
Greenfield thing was crazy.
Children died.
You know?
Damn.
Negligent. And they're just playing. It's like they're playing a game with people's lives. Oh, it was you. No, you did it. Like, It is done. Take responsibility for it.
I won't lie, yeah. When they try to put that picture of the man,
hey, listen, the man don't that get was me. Fridge, yeah.
When I saw it, I was just like, I was a bit like,
you lot are cheap, definitely. Fam, that was cheap.
Daily Mail, gummy paper.
Yeah, but why are we talking about what the Daily Mail puts up?
We know what they're like. We know what they're like.
I think a key thing you touched on is no compassion at all. I mean, I was reading reports today about some of the victims who were staying in a hotel, and they were told you have to be out by this time. They were only given hours notice. And they're homeless, basically. Leave the hotel, end up nowhere.
To go where?
There was. That's what I'm saying.
Apparently, they're giving them. Apparently, they're giving them £10,000.
No, they're giving 5,500. I've heard that
was the last time I heard it was ten thousand.
Is it going to give you a house? Let's start with that first.
There was another guy as well who he was a victim, and they tried to give him a house in Peterborough, which is not.
Oh my god, that's far. Yeah.
Do you know how far Peterborough
is? That's like near north. That's near Midlands.
That's far enough to have an accent. You know the accent. You know you're off end when they call you a southerner. I was like, yo,
come on.
When I left London, I didn't know that there was a north south divide. For me, if you're from north, it's not north. It's north of Thames. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
anything past north of the Thames was Narnia. Like that was the abyss. It was only when I left London that people were like, oh, you have an accent. I have an accent. What are you talking about?
Peterborough, though.
You're so that's southern. What does that mean? I'm from South London. I know that.
They said to him, yeah. But he was like, all my family and friends are in London. Why so far? And they basically said to him, take it or leave it.
Robbie. Very rude.
So I don't even know what decision he made, but there's no compassion there at all. It's just, you know, either we help you or you're on your own.
Where there was compassion, though, was with the community. Obviously, we know the community rallied
together, and that was good to watch. I saw
churches, faith groups, community groups, so people just coming together, bringing down. And I think, again, like just touching on,
I've got a point to add in there, just to be.
Go ahead.
Obviously, community, regardless of anything, should come together.
Of course.
But should it take such a disaster for us to demonstrate?
This is another topic on its own.
Why do you say that?
And I'm being a devil's advocate here because I want to open the discussion further, right? So I feel like at the end of the day, we should be, you know, these are things that we should be doing anyway. Like not to this scale, obviously, because it was quite a massive thing. So obviously it was urgent. Everyone had to move quickly and stuff. But just on the daily, like, do you know what I mean? Like in some of these areas, I mean, for example, where I'm from, I've seen, if something like that happened in Brixton, right, or whatever, right, or Streatham, like there's some people that I've seen on a daily basis that potentially could be affected, but I've seen people just walk past them like, do you know what I mean, like nothing. But say if their house then burnt down and someone knew that they were part of that tower, they'll suddenly be like, I'll give you my food and blah, 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 and stuff like that. But should it take such an event for us to...
You know, for example, the way that I heard about the news was at work, funny enough, like, I mean, I woke up in the morning, done my morning prayer, showered, went to work, you know. I didn't pick up no newspaper. I looked at any news on my phone.
Newspapers were dead.
Reading the Bible, listening to gospel music, just vibes.
Come on.
And then it was one of my colleagues that told me about the fire. So went online, read a few articles. I was like, wow. And it's like, it reminds you of what matters in life type of thing. So it's not like you're not looking out for people in the community. Yeah. It's like, I was just getting to work, you know, trying to do my shift, thinking about what I'm going to do after work, thinking about what I'm going to eat for lunch, you know, not a care in the world. And then you hear news and then it
just triggers this sort of, got you.
So it's a thing where people would gather automatically because it's a part of you, but being distracted in life, being distracted by work and commitments,
it's hard to
prioritize,
like, fully be on that.
To love thy neighbor, as it says.
Yeah. I hear that.
Which is bad, but you know.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think the counter argument that I have is that in situations like this is when people should come together. I'm not saying people should help each other.
Agreed. I think that should be the reason.
The level of response was as it should have been. I'm not surprised by the level. I'm not like, blah, blah, blah. But I hear what you're saying. Day to day, we should do that. But we don't know whether day to day people are helping.
All
we can see is that when it was time to ride, they rode. And that's the most important thing.
And at the same time, you can't anticipate such an event anyway.
The fact that event came so short notice and people were down to ride. You know what I mean? It's like back in the day when you were in your boat, but what's happened is
touching on that short notice, apparently the block held a fire drill 3 days before.
Did they?
Apparently so.
Who said that?
Ironic.
Fair enough.
They did come on a Saturday, though.
That's crazy.
They did. I think Bollas was right because they did come on the Saturday, and they were talking about fire safety and all of that jazz.
So how ironic, like,
bruv. That's the thing.
Honestly, I'm not gonna lie.
That's the thing, right? With the cladding, bruv. I looked into it.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah,
bro, just heat alone, yeah, will set, like you said, people smoking near the clutch. Like, just heat alone will actually set it alight. And the thing is, when it sets alight, it goes upwards because of some next chemicals in it.
And because it's looking for air as well.
Yeah, it's looking for air, so it just goes up. And if there's climate above it, then it'll go out and burn and burn and it will continue going. And that's why it spreads so fast, where you can set up your fire drill or whatever, but with that specific building or whatever was going on, yeah, bruv, the way they set it,
and it's that thing ripped all the way down to like the second floor, right to the bottom. There's no way.
Was it 24 stories?
Yeah, I said 22 earlier, I think.
Do you know what vexed me the most about that? Sorry, I'm even going back now. Like, people were flagging it up in 2013 when there was a power surge, power surge in that very same building, literally went all the way up to the 10th floor, and they're like, rah. How's it getting all the way from here to like there? They were thinking, so if there was a fire, then so they started flagging it up in 2013. That was 4 years ago, bro. Mm. 4 years ago, they were flagging it up, and these lot weren't saying anything.
Someone has to go to prison.
No, fam, listen, I've got names.
That's why
bruv.
Everybody's
I've
pushing.
Got names.
That's why everybody's pushing.
He not got names. He not got names.
Yeah,
but hold on, didn't one of like the main councillors just decided to resign or something like that?
Look, no, he didn't. He got. No, wait. Or so basically, there's a geezer called Gavin Barwell, Gavin Barwell, yeah, who is the housing minister.
Barwell.
Right? Yeah. He got removed from his seat during the election time, though, on election day. He got removed from his seat. But a year ago, he said that he was going to be sorting it out, like fire housing and safety and all that. Now, Jeremy was actually saying, like, why is it taking him so long to do it?
Conservative MP.
Yeah, he's a conservative. But now he's the new chief of staff.
For
at Downing Street,
isn't he the guy with the weird head shape?
See, that's what I'm saying. So there's someone that said that. Oh yeah, yeah, we're gonna sort it out. We're gonna sort it out. But again, he didn't do it. Do you know what I mean? And this is what I mean. Like, they've been flagging it up from 2013, and then last year they were saying that. Oh yeah, we're gonna fix it. We're gonna fix it, or we're gonna sort it out.
So long.
To be honest, yeah, you need to look at the pay patrol. You need to look at.
Audit trail, the audit trail, exactly. Who rose what complaints? Yep.
When who logged them? Yep. When it was logged?
Yeah. Closed the actual action.
Whose signatures are on papers?
Yeah. Whose signatures are on papers?
It's hard to be held accountable.
That's right.
And if there's no signatures, who's going to be held accountable?
Who's going to be held accountable? We've just said now that someone's evacuating a building.
Yeah. Just come up on BBC News as well.
What about the other 599 other high rise?
That's it, Max.
Listen, I'll be moving out. I don't need the place.
No, but here's the thing though, like on that note, I know obviously you're saying that in like a banterful way, right? Not banterful.
I'm being
for
real as well.
No, but I'm saying on a serious note though, think about it. Like, if you're from a working class background, right?
Yeah.
What choice do you actually
have?
Where do you go? Yeah, you want to leave a council estate. Cool. Have you seen the house prices around you?
Yeah. Especially because up the road from there, you've got Notting Hill, you've got Chelsea. Yeah. Think about
where we're from. Like Marlborough Street.
Yeah.
That street, no, Marlborough Lane.
Yeah, Marlborough Lane.
That street itself.
That street alone. Do you know the house prices? How much the houses are worth there?
I don't even know it. That's how expensive it is.
it's just behind Cherry Orchard Estate.
Just behind Cherry Orchard. Actually, beside it.
Going towards the A Road.
Yeah. Just going towards there. Just off Shooters Hill Road.
House prices, everyone knows, is quite steep. However, how many houses have they bought for the surviving?
Well, they haven't bought any. They were giving them money. Apparently, they're giving them 10 grand. What's that going to
buy?
No, but they're giving them free housing within 3 weeks. Yeah. They should be.
So they're going to get rehab.
Some of them apparently are getting luxury like houses, like the new flats and stuff. To be honest, I feel like I already know what colour those people are going to be.
Those houses weren't built without people already having the intention to move in there, without deposits already being put down for these luxury homes. Let's say wealthy Saudi men, businessmen in China.
Chinamen.
So are you telling me these people never had a part in those houses already? Or what's the situation?
I know what you mean. Because literally people, like investors from like all over the world are literally, they actually own these flats.
Yeah,
so it's not like they're going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to sell it to you now because of whatever. But because I don't know if they care like that, but I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, it's kind of inconvenient for them. So then how is the council getting them to basically buy out?
And that's, to be honest, that's a nice little segue into what we also wanted to talk about today was conspiracies. Gentrification.
Yeah, so what I wanted to say is like, it's a nice, I think we should talk about the conspiracies.
Conspiracy.
So obviously, surrounding this event, there's a lot of conspiracies from, you know, this was a plan.
Yeah,
I've heard it's a plan, a premeditated plan to get people of lower income and, you know, out of the area. No, and so that they could shut down the block and then create like new housing there. Yeah, what do you lot think about that gentrification?
I believe it.
You believe it? So, honestly, I'm interested to know your opinion, because you live in a gentrified area at the moment, man.
I believe it.
You believe it? Why do you believe it?
Blueberry, yeah, pizza state.
Origins. Origins.
Tell you my origin.
Yeah.
Back in the day. No, but basically, yeah. Even this Deptford High Street that I drove past today, yeah. Mm. They're trying to turn it into like one-way system. Listen. The Jamaican shop's at the top. You're telling me I need to go round.
Round the thing. Like, nah. Eventually that Jamaican shop won't be there, bro.
God forbid, it will be there. Listen, gentrification, yeah. Plantain back in the day was £4 for a pound. Now it's 3 for £1.20. Something is happening.
3 for £1.20.
Something is happening. Forget houses. Look,
3 for £1.20.
You know his mum said it was about plantain yesterday.
Yeah, that's how he got no change.
And she gave you the exact. Listen, gave you the exact amount of
things
cost
are
as
changing.
Well.
I mean,
3 for £1.20. You know, 20 as well. Like 20.
Listen, 3 for £1.20. Things are changing. Times are changing. Like, we're living in some. If you ain't got money, you better hurry.
Basically,
times, you get me.
Let me tell you how you know things are changing here. Do this, right? I googled on Google Maps, right? I don't even know if it's still like that, but I googled my estate on Google Maps.
Yeah.
Church estate, right? Mm. If you look at what it looks like now compared to what it looked like when they did maps. Yeah. When I tell you you can see it for what, like, you know when the bricks were yellow?
Yeah.
Yellow bricks. Now, go and search where you live now, right? On Google Maps. I don't think they've updated it since then because it's, they don't need to. It's still the same in terms of roads. It's just the pictures don't look different. Google it on Google Maps, as in Google World, the Google World thing, right?
Like
actually look at your street and you will see what gentrification means, right? Mm. The issue I have with gentrification is that there's people from low income backgrounds living in these rundown areas, right? Which have produced gangs, which have produced this, which have produced that, and people have become a product of their environment, right? We've all lived in those environments. We're lucky enough to not have got sucked in to the system living in those environments. Thankful to God for that, right? Mm. But here's what vexes me. They complain about it. These don't say, cool, we'll fix it. Let's move you out and redo up your area. Move them out, they redo up the area, then sell it for a higher price. Mm. Bring in new dons, that change the whole culture of the area, right? And then leave them dons there saying, well, if you want to come back, you're going to have to pay this.
Yeah.
All they're asking is to you to give them a better environment to live in. But people don't want to do that, right? There are people that probably would have left the country. I remember one time, I think I was either in Peckham or Brixton. I was walking around, I could hear this guy talking. He was like, yo, is this Brixton now? Mm. Like back in the day, it didn't look anything like this. Do you know what I'm saying? There's places like, if you go to Greenwich now, all that North Greenwich, do you think Greenwich used to look like that?
Never.
No.
Before we had Millennium Dome and then, you know, when they used it to do the T-Mobile advert, before they built that place,
it was just green marshes.
Bro,
that's what it used to be.
Greenwich was slums. Yep. Have you seen Woolwich now?
Yep.
Woolwich.
That big screen. Back in the day, that screen would have been stolen.
Not even the big screen, yeah.
Anyone who's from the area knows what Woolwich used to be back
they've
in
even
the day.
They've even got new Woolwich on the other side
Bro.
Fam, I went to New Woolwich a few months ago. I've never been there in my life yet. I said,
I didn't even know there was New Woolwich.
There's New Woolwich.
Hey, yo,
bro, go there. You'll be in Narnia, bro.
It's Narnia, fam.
That's what I'm saying.
Even the gates.
What vexes me about it is that our communities, right? And when I say our communities, generally the people that tend to live there are either working class people that are either people of color or people that are working class. So like if you're a working class person, you live there. All these people are asking for is for you to make their areas better. Invest in them. They pay the taxes. Many people try to say, oh, all you do is claim from the benefit from the government. Okay, yeah, there are some people that do that, right? That system is in place to help people that are lower down. Fair enough. I don't think you should sponge off it, but there are people that need that support. There are also people that are actually just working to survive. They're not working to live. Deep the language. Yeah. They're working to survive. All they want is a better environment to survive in. That is it. But instead, these people come through, they change up the whole place, move you out, move new dons in that are willing to pay more money. It's all profit motivated. Yeah. No one, people have lost compassion. And that's what vexes me the most about the community. That's what vexes me, because there's so many people suffering. And all these poor people are just moving out to other areas and they're getting run down. And once that
homes are now for investment. They're no longer for people to live in. Exactly. It's for investment.
Yeah. I think I've got an explanation as to why. Obviously, because I'm in poverty myself and there's something called a CPO. Which
you would never be in poverty.
Property.
I had to do that prayer for you real quick.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the fact he jumped to it.
Yo, I had to be like, you have to speak.
I love that. Safe. But there's something, because I work in property, there's something called a compulsory purchase order, which is basically a law, a legal function that the United Kingdom gives to people that want to obtain land without people's consent. Yeah. So this whole conspiracy, it's called a CPO. So obviously with this whole conspiracy stuff, that you find it funny how, like, you know, obviously people talk about the fact that this was on purpose. So now there's no people to actually retaliate against it.
Jesus.
Hold on, I'm finished. And this is the reason why Brixton, Woolwich, etc. So all the market, so you know, is that Atlantic? No, Electric Avenue, right? All the market stores on that, they've all gone now. Mm. So they've given like a developer the backhander and said, okay, we're gonna apply a CPO on this street. You lot can buy this whole street from us, from the government, the local council, whatever, without the people's consent. And this is the reason why gentrification is happening, because of CPOs, literally.
The same.
And that's one thing I just don't agree with personally. Yeah. Even though
that's the same thing that's happening in Woolwich, because my mentor.
That's why they buy swathes of land and develop the whole thing.
My mentor's into property as well, and you know, anyone that knows Woolwich knows about Woolwich Indoor Market. So it's by Woolwich High Street. That entire block is going to be gone.
And let me tell you something. I guarantee you, they're going to demolish Greenfield and they're going to develop it. And it will,
everybody's been giving.
And if you know the inside, like when I see that, I'm like, this was on purpose. As soon as I see that, I'm like, this was completely.
You know what?
Purpose.
Yeah. When I was in uni, I remember reading an article in a newspaper, and it said, I believe Lewisham had the highest murder rate and rape rate.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to my housemates, but that's why I'm from there, and I don't feel it's at as all. Dangerous as they say.
Same. Yeah.
Same here.
Now,
same.
That will push people away from the area, you know.
Of course. Yeah.
Make the land cheaper, because no one wants to live
there.
Yeah.
And then, as you just said, CPO.
CPO, yeah. Compulsory purchase order.
Okay, cool. This land is dirt cheap, got high murder rate. Let's buy all this land.
Yeah. You won't need the consent of the people that live there, the families, the children, and that. And they push them out.
In Lewisham, one-bedroom flats for 350k.
It's too much,
bro. And people who are trying to buy a yard
everything around it is just complete. Just goes way up, and it's luxury. And now, fam, Brixton is like one of my boys. Yeah, he's a white boy, innit? We used to go to school together.
Yeah.
He was like, fam. He said, Dave. Yeah. He goes, fam. He goes, do you want to go for a drink in Brixton? I said, you're asking me.
Me?
That has lived on Brixton Hill for... since I was a fetus, fam. Since I was in my dad's balls. And you want to tell me that you want to invite me
rooftop bars.
He goes, hey, mate, let's go to this rooftop thing. Yes, it's right above the flipping Prince of Wales or something. I said, you're joking, man. I know about it.
I'll ask our colleagues here that are out of London. Oh, where you lot going? Oh, Mark, do you want to come for drinks? Yeah, where you lot going? Oh, we're going Brixton.
Do you know what's mad? Let's deep it. Yeah, we all grew up in a generation where we knew certain areas. You know, they've got their stereotypes about certain areas of London, right?
We all know the stereotype
of South London. Yeah. Even if you are from South, you weren't allowed to be in South. Let's deep it. There's a reason. No, there is a reason South was called Dirty South. It was called Dirty South for a reason. Now, take that into consideration, yeah? I still have that mentality sub deep in
now,
my head. When Don say to me, "Oh yeah, I'm going out to Brixton," I'm like, "Do you really want? Or I bought a house in Streatham.
That's what you know.
Do you really want to live in Streatham?
Or Thamesmidge? Oh yeah, I'm just going Thamesmidge.
Why am I going? Do you really? Are you sure you want to live there, bro? Like, have you? I rented the flat. My landlord, he said it's in a place called Streatham. I
remember.
How much you pay for rent? $12.50 a month.
You what?
I went to Streatham Ice Rink.
You know,
I didn't go back.
Go back.
In fact, they've knocked it down. I'm glad that I didn't have to go back. You know what, yeah? Like, I mean, South London, yeah, just becoming rooftop bars, yeah?
Honestly. In the most maddest coffee shops.
But here's the thing.
Croissants and coffee shops.
But here's the thing, though, yeah?
That wouldn't be a problem if our people were able
and
to
benefit. And they didn't strip the cultural heritage from these areas.
Yeah, this is the problem. Like, let's take all the jokes aside about Southland or whatever. Moving all of that
real
aside.
Real talk, yeah.
What would be so great is if they invested. All these people that are lost, people just, back in the day when you wanted somewhere to hang after school, you didn't have nowhere to go, you just ended up on streets and got yourself in trouble.
Develop it around the people. Develop it around the people, yeah.
You could go to like a place where you could just chill.
Develop it around the people, yeah.
Bro, like, have mentors in the community and do that kind of stuff. Yeah, that would be brilliant, right? But nobody wanted to do that. What they did was, you know, we've got some ragamuffins in this area. Let's clear them
out. Completely
Let's build it back up. Let's move some people in there that will give us more money and leave them out. That's what vexes me the most. There's nothing wrong with South London being nice. There's nothing wrong with anywhere being nice. If the people that lived in those communities enjoy it and they're not.
And they're not because they're being taken out.
Go on, brother.
Yeah, people that lived in the communities, they're not seeing the fruits of their labour. Like,
right.
When I was young and uneducated on it, like, I used to live in Lethbridge Close in Lewisham. If you've been around the area...
I heard about that place.
Mad!
the amount of new flats they're building now. When I was younger, I used to think, so the people in the old blocks...
That roundabout is looking
mental.
Now you look at it and you think, it's a money thing. They want people to come in who they know will pay them. They're going to complain. Yeah. And they're driving everyone out. Places like Lewisham, Woolwich, everywhere like this. And the thing is, we can't even complain about it because it's going to happen regardless.
Bruv, as if we're not... This is what all of these things that they've
been doing. I'll give you... Let me give you guys like a real-life example.
As if we're not paying council tax.
Let me give you like...
Imagine.
I'll give you a real-life example, yeah. So, obviously, like, I've been trying to buy a house, like a flat, for like the past few months now.
Big man.
Like, I've been looking around,
big man.
But the problem is, you'd think that because I'm from Greenwich Borough, I'd be given the option to be able to buy something in the borough. Fam, man can't even afford it, you know. No. I can't afford it.
That's
crazy.
When I'm ready to move out, where am I moving to? I know South well. I want to live in South.
I want to stay in South.
I can't afford anywhere in where South. I grew up. Can you imagine? If I don't even have to say imagine, you lot feel it, but anyone listening,
bruv.
Imagine being in an area you grew up in.
And you relate to, you know.
It's like that you relate home. To, that's home. And you can't even afford to
in your
live
own
to live there.
Area.
And you don't have priority to live there.
And you don't have priority.
That's the thing that annoys me the most. You do have priority, but they know that you can't afford it.
The priority. Yeah.
So you can't afford
it. That's what I'm saying. So default, they don't need to say anything but to help you out.
Exactly.
The mad thing is, like, I know a lot of friends now who, when they are getting properties, they're moving just outside of London. So places like
that. Commute better areas than that,
I used to live in Irits.
They're dead ends, man.
Yo.
They said it's straight training to Central.
I'm not
going to
lie.
Yes, it's
dead. One thing that I'm scared of is they're going to pick up on it. They're going to think, everyone's moving to Dartford, so let's drive them out of Dartford too.
Right.
Like, there's nowhere you can go the way you're going to be safe, because they're going to think wherever these people move to, we'll just get them out a few years later.
And eventually.
And then we'll...
Because everywhere leads into Central London. Yeah. And if you can get to Central London, that place is for sale, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yo.
You know what I mean?
That place is for sale. Yo, I'm not going to lie. That seemed bare simple, but that was mad deep.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Have you seen that film with Justin Timberlake? Yeah, it's called In Time.
Sick film.
That has so many implications and references to how we're living now. It's like there's sections, there's divisions.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the people who... had time, who had money.
Had a lot of money.
Around slow, everything was nice.
Yeah.
They got everything in the world. And Justin Timberlake coming from the slums, he was like District 12.
He had to be running.
He was low on time. He had to work. He was sweating. People looking at him like, you're not from here because you're working too hard. What is this government doing for us?
But that's the question.
What rules
are
they putting in place that we're knowledgeable on, that we can agree on?
Mm.
That's like it's always affecting us.
Honestly.
Things that they're putting in place.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything affects us. That is, it's so annoying.
I wanted to ask Rob as well, this CPO thing. Who gets access to a CPO?
Okay.
Is it foreign direct investment? Is it the Chinese?
Is it the Arabs? To be fair, this is because the thing is, I sat in a lecture for about 2 hours listening to this nonsense.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's
so to be fair, I can't be talking about like the details, but in summary, it's mostly like the big developers such as your Berkeley Homes, Barrett. Some of these other guys, these big boys that are just out here, exactly. So what the key is that they've got these public and private partnerships, so they can basically essentially, because most of the land is owned by the sort of the government or whatever, right? So they can access this land bank of land. So essentially, most of the land is owned by the government, right? So in Brixton, for example, you know, you've got Switzerland, like you've got the whole of like Brits and Harrods government, Lambeth and Redhead. But they obviously everyone else who rents out is our leaseholders. So they technically haven't got any right over, they don't own it. So therefore the freeholders are the people that own the land can say, okay, we've got developers that actually want to come in and develop the land and make it better for us, even though they don't really care about the actual people it affects.
Yeah.
So we're gonna apply a CPO, we're gonna go to the parliament or whatever and request a CPO. So then the big boys such as Berkeley Homes can say, can then come in and then basically purchase this land off the government.
Because they'll put a case together. And
they'll say,
we'll make it very cosmopolitan, metropolitan.
They've been planning this for at least 10 years. So this, fam, like, so since primary school or whatever, these guys have been planning this.
Definitely, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they've been, like, having these discussions. So it's crazy. So, you know, essentially, like, it's just an easy way into just come and just gentrify all these areas. And it's nuts because for me personally, like, the thing is, I haven't got a problem with, like, development in the sense that it's, because look, back in 1066, London did not look the way it does now.
Yeah, all right.
Do you know what I mean? So, and then there's benefits to that. There's, you know, economically in terms of jobs and like just in terms of investment and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But what I don't agree with is now you changing almost the character and the spirit of an area.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't push all the people out that made the area. Don't do that. Yeah, like Brixton's got heritage.
And like you said, like,
and not to mention that Brixton specifically, in terms of the significance that it has in terms of UK history.
Yeah.
And the black people that are there and what they've done for the British Empire.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but no one wants to talk about
it. But they don't. I will do it until I die, fam. Because these people just take the piss. Like, do you know what I mean? So, like, they need to stop all that. It's ridiculous. You can develop it. We can have these flying cars and stuff, but don't take, like, do you know what I mean? Because the world's going to go there at some point. Do you know what I mean? Time won't stop. But don't come and mash up the area, man. Don't do that.
For real. Going back to one key thing you said earlier, about Grenfell Tower. I can see them knocking it down as well.
They're going to knock it down as well. I guarantee you.
But if they knock it down and they redevelop
them, they're going to redevelop it.
They're evil people.
Let's give them a chance, I wouldn't mind if they knocked it down, rebuilt it, and moved people back in.
They have to make a memorial because I can't live there. I wouldn't live there. It has to be a memorial.
But what I think they're going to do is what everybody's saying.
Because think about it. Right behind there's the rich people apartments.
And then there's a whole borough like Chelsea.
Remember, it's Kensington and Chelsea,
Come on, mate. They're going to knock down and rebuild it, man.
Around the corner, Hugh Grant is having lunch whilst your house is burning. Sorry, I didn't mean to name check Hugh Grant Wolverine.
Is that what he was doing?
But, no, he wasn't doing that at the time, but I'm saying that the kind of area that it is that the celebrities go just round the
Hugh
corner.
Jackman, Hugh Jackman.
Missing out is it Hugh Jackman?
It's the thing where...
It wasn't me.
We see this happening, so the community, everyone needs to come together, like the Grenfell situation. We all see this happening. Let's gather and protest about it, because it's happening before our eyes.
But bro, do protests work?
Again,
start another one.
Again, coming from a student politics background, protests raise awareness, right? Sometimes protests aren't necessarily the best way to get things done. Sometimes you have to go through, negotiate, talk, and make things happen through influence. But when you get to a point where you can no longer have any influence, which they tried, because remember, they've been trying to have influence since 2013. Yeah.
To tell them and
nothing happened. It's got to the point where they've run out of options. And I don't believe in protest as a first resort, but I believe in protest if nothing else has worked. Because if you've tried to negotiate, if you've tried to get things done, and nothing's happened, bro. You've got to push that red button. But you have to let people know that if you want us to raise awareness about this, we can and we will. The problem with protests is that they lose traction. Yes.
They do.
And what needs to be important, things lose traction, things lose impact. Like, it's sexy in the moment. But once the moment is gone, people lose the will to continue because they forget that with that protest, you actually have to keep it loud.
Continue.
The moment you become a danger, and let's take the Black Panthers as example, right? The way they ran the Black Panthers and how many of them got... The moment you become a danger is when you run a narrative that doesn't go away. That keeps getting stronger, right? That's why people had, like, the FBI and stuff wanted to bring down the Black Panthers and all of that all in America. All the people that were after MLK. You know the history, do you know what I'm saying? When you lead a narrative that's not going away, that's when you become a threat. And then that's when the people in power are like, we got to do something about this. We either have to shut it down, like they did the Panthers, or we're going to have to find a way to deceive everybody, or we're
going
to have to find a way to let them win the battle so we can win the war.
Did they not stop using the buses that the companies had to shut down? So let's say
people stop paying rent.
Yeah.
Would they listen then?
Yeah, yeah.
If everyone literally, imagine a whole block.
Imagine that. Imagine if every
if a whole block stopped paying rent, they'll evict every man and moving people that will pay rent. No. Think about it. You're dispensable.
If all the six are so all the people that know about the cladding now, if everyone who lived in a block who's got the same cladding as Grenfell Tower said, we are not paying our rent due to the same cladding that was used in Grenfell Tower and we do not feel safe. What can the government say?
Yeah, because you can't say, I'm paying for a service. Yeah. The service is that you look after.
That's true. And they've got the policies on the whole website.
Let me provide the devil's advocate argument to that, though. I'll tell you this.
What you just said, what you kind of touched on there quick. Go on.
What they're going to do, if everybody comes through and say that, that works when there's solidarity.
Yeah.
Right? When there is collectivism and solidarity and everybody is on the same wave.
It should be.
What's going to happen, though, is people will try and do it and try and get it to gain traction. They'll fire back, say, all right, move out. We've got a waiting list of, bruv, the waiting list for council housing is huge, right?
My mum went through it.
There are people that will take that flat saying, listen, as long as you can sort it out, I'll take it. Now, you've got kids that need to go to school. You've got bills to pay. Someone is going to break ranks. It takes one person to break rank. For the rest will follow. Everything breaks out. And they know that there's too many people for one person to not break rank.
Yeah.
So that's why that can never happen. That would be the most strategic thing to do. Don't get me wrong. And I'd be in full support of that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, same.
But the only way it works is if there's full solidarity. And that is not guaranteed because if they say to you, we're going to put your family on the street, you know you've got people to feed.
The community,
you know you ain't got nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're going to take what you get.
Though,
and that's the problem.
But the maddest thing is, though,
shelter. Going to bring in all these families from outside.
But it's a basic human need, though.
The thing that they had and they came together.
I mean, shelter is a basic human need.
It's the Church of Acts.
What's this?
But the funny thing is, though, the people that we're sort of protesting to, I guess, and making noise, are the same people that we feel they can create a solution for us, but the same people that are burning us up in buildings and stuff. So it's like, it's such an inception.
Yeah. Oh.
It's such an inception. It's like, these are the people that were like, save us, but they clearly, as of recent events.
Way the protest works is if.
I'm talking about solution, by the way.
No, no, but what I'm saying is the only way the protest works and leads to a solution is if the narrative doesn't go away.
So that's the completely bug.
The
narrative is already going away. Like,
but that's the problem.
Not media coverage.
Okay.
Media coverage is already kind of disappearing.
No, but that's from the media, right?
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say to you is the response, this is such a big thing that is so publicly and widely open and so many people, even those that have voted conservative, people that vote conservative, vote Labour, whatever, are heartened by it. Like they feel it,
right? Yeah.
The government can't ignore it.
Because that tower's not going anytime soon.
And if it does go, and we've seen what social media can do. The moment they try and do anything to it, it's going to blow, right? And that could translate to more seats being lost for the conservatives, which they don't need right now.
Right.
Because so this is a strong enough narrative to make change happen. Do you see what I'm saying?
And
you have to understand
election.
The bigger politics behind it. But a lot of people on the ground don't get politics and how it works. No. If they can keep this narrative going, if they can ensure that all the stuff that's happening around it stays public, because remember, their response has to be the right response. Otherwise, they have completely committed political suicide.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If they can control the narrative, however, and put the blame on someone and put that person in jail, that's when the story goes away.
Right.
Because everybody directs their anger to that person.
Yeah. Someone's going to get sacrificed.
And all day, and then the people will come through.
Hot
and then the people, and then the government will come through and say,
conspiracy,
"Oh, we found who's responsible for it. They're gonna pay for it. This is how we're gonna fix it." Boom. And then the story's dead.
Let's go.
Do you see what I'm saying? So there has to be a narrative that doesn't stop for real change to happen. But so that's difficult to get.
So one of the big ways that you can obviously continue that narrative is social media. Yeah, and I wanted to touch on this a bit earlier because you know we saw visuals of, you know, the woman that I can't remember what floor she was on, but she gone to Facebook Live and you could hear her praying.
That was terrible.
The Muslim woman. You know, social media just seemed to be the thing that everybody switched to. What are you lot's thoughts around the whole social media thing? What is
in
it too intrusive?
This.
Is it like, okay, why are you running into your phone actually go and tangibly help someone?
I feel like she knew that media will not show the real thing. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So she thought, you know what? Whatever happens,
yeah.
I'm going to show people what it is like to be in here.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like, first, if I'm in a burning building, I'm not going to run to my phone and record. But if I know for a fact in the back of my head that, okay, I'm a minority and the majority of people living in
and
this block
to my voice
are minority
yeah.
and people are not actually going to tell the real story how it was, or they're going to they're going
to sugarcoat it.
I'm going to show them the real thing.
Because apparently,
I mean?
People were being told to stay in your flats.
They were.
For 90 minutes. Exactly. They were told to stay in your flats for 90 minutes. That's that is fire.
That was on the basis that the flat was like fire.
Stable. Well, because they knew they were trying to get out.
Yeah, the people that were advising to stay, think about it. They've come there thinking, cool, we know many flats that have been built like this. Remember, they're not the ones that built the flats. They're going off the assumption that this flat is fire safe.
And off their training as well.
And off their training as well, which is, if you stay in the flat, we can come in and we can contain it.
Yep.
Even the fire services reported that they were shocked at the speed that the fire moved.
Six minutes.
Because they didn't believe that it could move at that speed. Mm-hmm. Because from their training,
experience,
you go to a flat burns.
Yeah.
That flat burns.
Yep.
Remember you see a block of flats and one window is
black. There was one fire that happened opposite Grenfell before and it was just self-contained in one flat. Exactly.
So from their experience, they've never seen anything like this before.
So they're thinking...
That's why they're advising that, because the whole idea is...
From experience,
if everybody's trying to run out, they can't get in to help. The fire has space to escape and spread. So the advice is stay in your flat, so we can contain the fire, we have space to get there as quickly as possible, and it doesn't spread. But do you see what I'm saying?
One of the accounts from the fireman said he saw like 200 bodies.
Yeah.
So it just goes back to the media, sugarcoating it, saying there's only, what, 78?
It's strategic.
How are we getting that narrative from the social media? Because we all know the real numbers of people that have died.
Oh, 100%.
We know it on social media, but that is not going to be shown broadcasted.
The beauty of social media now, especially now, is that it doesn't have to be broadcasted.
No filter.
Everybody's on social media.
True.
Right? Yeah. And the beautiful thing about social media is that the stuff that the news won't report, like I don't check BBC News to get breaking news.
Same,
I'm not
going to
lie. I'm not going to lie.
When you go on Twitter, you get it raw.
Instantly,
because it's
raw.
You get BBC News
account, you get the person.
The BBC News people find the people that tweeted
and they try to interview them.
Brother, you know when the riots happened?
Yeah.
Twitter was the saving grace,
bro.
Because I was at work, and I could see where the riots were following.
Yeah.
So I said to my line manager, oh, I heard they're in so-and-so now. They're at this place. And she was like, right, we better shut up the shop then. Yeah. We shut the shop. When she came back the next day, the whole of JD Sports, I used to work in JD, was wrecked.
Yeah.
Like, they left the Reebok trainers, though. But everything else
was they're dead.
Do you know what I mean?
Everything
no
one was
Reebok. No one is wearing Reebok for a minute.
Charlton. But if not for Twitter, I wouldn't have been able to say,
let me quickly
get what I
tell you what happened at the JD Charlton.
Wow, that's scary.
So I was at work at the time, and obviously I was telling them, where I live, and then it was reported on the news that so-and-so areas had been affected by the riots. And so my area was affected, like Woolwich, Charlton.
Brixton High Street.
Listen, I'm on the bus.
So I'm on the bus,
going past like the shopping complex. You know the one by McDonald's and Asda?
Oh, yeah, B.
I'm going past the shopping complex. I see the boys, they're just running into JD.
Yeah.
They just broke the place down and they're running in. Everyone's watching from the bus and just looking. That is what happened that day.
I'm glad I didn't get commissioned.
People were helping. We're making burgers in McDonald's in Woolwich.
But this is what I'm saying. Social media is the...
It's a powerful medium of information.
But here's the problem with social media, right? One, social media, majority has young people on it.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How are we getting it
to the older generations that believe that stuff like this can't happen? They are old school and still need the news.
And the
news outlets know that.
And the close-minded,
So they only push out what the narrative that they want people to see.
Why did Jeremy's popularity increase?
Social media. He had sons like JME back in him.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? He had people like Akala. And Akala doesn't speak out for
no one.
He doesn't.
He's very strict in his support.
He's very strict in his political support. So when you have dons that are as intelligent and learned as Akala coming forward, saying,
openly supporting.
On social media, you have to think about the impact that has.
All the young people don't think twice, we're about to support.
That's the beauty of it, but the flip side to it is that sometimes people can feel like they're doing so much by tweeting, but you're not actually doing anything. All you've done is shared the story
of information,
and that's perfect to share the story. But saying that, oh, I wish I could help, is not actually helping. No.
Yeah.
If you want to help,
retweet.
Share.
I mean,
having said that, I mean, there's been missing people and they've been fouled because people just retweet the hell out of the TL,
but
I understand your. Go ahead.
People wouldn't have found them if the people that saw it didn't take action. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are people that are seeing the tweets and they're taking action.
Which
they
is haven't just retweeted it back to what I was saying.
But knowing that social media is as big as it is, there's such a saturated, well, it's such a like big market in there that potentially there could be help.
There's so many
people that people could ignore it, but it's still potential.
Yeah, it's true.
But I get you. Nah,
yes,
completely.
Yeah, it's 50, you know what I'm saying?
It's basically 50-50.
Yeah.
One of the problems of social media is I don't think everyone is genuine. So what I mean by that is some people...
What, Image Gang?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
literally,
yeah.
Some people that's literally want to spread the word.
This is like some different people want to help.
Then you get the other half of people who's want to jump on the bandwagon. Mm. Oh, I know what's going on. So let me tweet about it. Let me hashtag.
Yeah, it's not genuine. It's
and
like
they're not doing what they should be doing. You know what I mean? Like, I sit at home sometimes and I'm going through hashtags like, pray for London, pray for Grenfell Towers. But I'm like, it's like ones of people
who's actually doing it?
Yeah, they're not doing it. They're
who's
tweeting
who's
it.
Actually praying? Who's actually praying?
That's the point I'm trying to
it's
make
true.
About
you know, it's like you want to be perceived like, that you're helping, but you're not actually thing. Helping.
But are you actually...
And that's the danger of social media. You're right.
Yeah.
Because by the fact that you said it, you feel like
you've
done it.
Yeah, you feel like you've
done it. But you haven't genuinely actually done it.
You know?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Interesting.
Do you know? I don't know if you want to touch on this topic, right? But it's sort of back to the Grenfell Tower situation. And it's only because I know that in the media, a lot of the Muslim community get so much stick, right?
The thing
I didn't like was that nobody was talking about the fact that a lot of the Muslim community were the ones waking families up to try to save them. Because it was Ramadan. They just come out from prayer.
Yeah.
Think about it. The only people that were up that time were the people praying. Yeah. Right? And they were trying to make noise and get people out of their flats, but no one wants to report them doing good.
No.
And that vexed me a bit because it's like the Muslim community actually did a lot that night.
When
you know?
when they ran over when the Finsbury Park situation happened.
Yeah.
Vehicle runs into Muslims coming from prayer. Did the vehicle move itself?
Yeah, you know
what
I mean?
What I love about it, is
they've charged them for terror attacks.
This is the first time I've seen in the media that a white male has been charged for terror.
Terror.
I think I'm skeptical about it. I'm happy that it's happened because there
but
are
but it's
also
talking about his mental health though.
But there are other acts that other people have committed that haven't necessarily been looked at as terrorism. But as soon as a brown person does it, it's terrorist, right?
Yeah.
With a beard
but the thing I'm weary about is the fact that I feel like the media has taken the action and the narrative and the wording of it so seriously to distract attention from Grenfell. Because a lot of people will be happy that, yes, this white male that's committed an act of terror is being... Nobody condones terrorism. If you're brown and you commit terrorism, you're a terrorist. Mm. If you're a white male or female and you commit terrorism, you're a terrorist, right? Yeah. But that narrative has not traditionally been seen in mainstream media for people that
are not
of colour, right?
Until now
that Grenfell has happened, all of a sudden... A similar situation that's happened before that's never been called a terrorist attack.
That typically doesn't happen.
Has now been called a terrorist attack. Why is that? I think about these things.
I got you.
You know what's crazy?
It's to change the narrative.
It's crazy.
Do you know what I mean? I might be a conspiracist, but I think about these
things. It's like as soon as the truth is about to reveal, it's like, hold on. Let's keep people with the next thing.
We can go deeper.
It's a different topic, but I don't want to touch on it too much. But the media is so powerful.
Of course.
And brainwashing.
Murdoch.
You know what I mean?
Murdoch is a witch.
They know already. The amount of young people on social media, if you suddenly say a white man committed a terrorist attack, like, say, for example, this is Grenfell Tower here. My focus switches from there to Finsbury Park. Oh, look, a white man, terrorist. Yeah, let's talk about this now. Everyone forgets about Grenfell.
Yeah.
And the speed at which that's coming onto your TL as well happened a few days after.
And we can go deep into the conspiracies.
Yeah, we could be here for a number of hours.
That are saying that these kind of things are created by the media.
Bro,
themselves.
We've seen Scandal. Fam, we've seen House of Cards.
Come on.
We've seen these shows. Listen, I know they're fictional, but there's got to be some truth behind it. You know what I'm saying?
How can the media always have bad news to report? Do you get what I mean?
Why is it never good news?
Always bad news to report.
Bad news
and
sells,
so closely. It
what's
sells.
That? What's that movie? Nightcrawler. Has anyone seen that?
Thank you,
bro.
Amen.
It's a mad thing, isn't it? Spirit is one.
It's not a prayer, bro.
Yeah, from these times.
You said what it was, isn't it?
Demon of forgetfulness. Remember something.
No, that's it. See, but that's the thing. Like,
what happened in that?
In that movie, it was basically he got money off of bad stuff happening pretty much to the point where he started even when bad stuff happened, he kind of like fixed it to make it look worse. Yeah. Or he basically like, oh, the killer's now in here, and he'll follow them and he'll let like he'll lead them that way or something.
Just to kind of round it up a little bit. Yeah.
Mad.
What are the solutions now from each of you in terms of what Grenfell, what should happen next with Grenfell? What are the solutions?
So I disagree with what Afro said when he said that if they were to rebuild like new homes, that he wouldn't move into there. Yeah. I think if they were going to rebuild new homes and let the victims move in, I think that's fine. I would move in because I need a home and I need to be where I grew up. Do you know what I mean? Some of them people, literally, that's all they know. That's their area. That's their home.
Yeah.
So if they're going to rebuild it and say you can stay here, then fine. Like, I'll still go to the same corner shop, whatever.
Sweet.
So I think they should be rehoused in their area.
Cool.
Yeah. If not, I wouldn't take anything less. Anything other than that, I'll be upset. Cool. If I were in their shoes.
Rob? It's a hard one. I think there's several things that have to change. I think, well, in this particular situation, I think like at least someone has to be held accountable. At least, like, and it's annoying, like, obviously people have died and all that kind of stuff, but just in the current situation where we are in this present now, the best we can do, at least with the powers we have or in the context of the situation, is that someone needs to be held accountable. Or it has to be like remember you guys were talking about this whole audit trail thing. Mm-hmm. How did this event, like, we've got reverse engineering, like, how did this even come to fruition? Mm-hmm. Find out where the missing parts are and just hold someone accountable. But I guess at the same time, thinking ahead as well, knowing that there's other towers out there that potentially could go through the same thing, there needs to be some sort of contingencies and plans to prevent this ridiculous thing from happening again.
Dope. Musty.
I'm feeling that I'm on the same wavelength, man. Mm. Someone needs to not take responsibility, but effectively someone needs to be found guilty. Nobody wants to take responsibility.
Of course not.
But somebody needs to be found guilty for this, right? And the reason why is, one, for those survivors, they want justice. And right now, the bit of justice that they can cling on to,
they can actually have right now,
is for the person that did this to be held accountable at the full power of the law.
Yeah.
So for the survivors, I think for their own, so they can make peace with it.
Mm. And the people that lost relatives as well.
Needs to take the hit and, you know, do their time, really. The second thing that needs to happen is that these people need to be rehoused in communities that are for them. They can't be pushed away to some next place, to some next area where they don't know the people and have to rebuild and they can't relate. They need to be rehoused and provided for in the communities that they know best. Thirdly, the government needs to really do a strong risk assessment on other people that live in flats like this that could potentially be at risk of this. It looks like they're doing it. Mm. To be give them credit, people are starting to be evacuated from flats and things like that. Mm. That's a positive move. But there are 600 high-rise flats around the UK that have similar cladding to this, right? 600 flats of people cannot be rehoused, especially if, let's say, there's a minimum two-bedroom houses, right? Let's say that's a family with two parents and two kids on average. That's four people per flat times 600. Do the maths. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Since I can't. No, I can, but
it's either 600 times the amount of flats, and how high 200 flats in each
times 600.
800 times 600.
Hell, that's crazy.
A lot of people. Yeah. So there really needs to be a serious plan. And this is the thing, going forward as well, and new builds and things like that, the government really needs to take. They need to learn from this, because if you do something right the first time, it might not be cost saving the first time, but it will be cost saving for the rest of time.
Yep.
Do it right the first time. You won't need to
take the hit now, and then long term.
Long term is right, but again, it's all about political stuff. It's the political landscape, and all of that has to line up to make that happen. And what's the shame is that in this current community, politics does make a difference, you know? So I hope that politicians will look above this and actually come and work together to do these things. But that's what I think needs to happen, man. But those things will take time.
Sweet. Afo.
Yeah. I think one thing that Musi said is that we can't allow the narrative to change. We have to continue putting pressure on the government to make sure that they learn from this.
Yeah.
Another thing is that we have to put pressure on them to change it from being a public inquiry to an inquest.
Yes.
The reason I say that is because a public inquiry is the way that this public inquiry is set up right now is that the person who's who's in charge of it will report directly to Theresa May. The public are not allowed to get involved in a public inquiry. The irony of the name is pissing me off.
That's ridiculous.
But it's so that's what is in place right now. What has to be is an inquest, because then the residents of Grenfell are allowed to be involved. That's what needs to happen. Because me, I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but the way that I see things right now is as if the Theresa May and her cronies here, they know something. Puppets. They know something is up, bruv. So that's why they made it a public inquiry instead.
Puppets.
So for me, Pinocchio. We have to continue putting pressure on the government, whether it be Theresa May, whether it be the next government, because that woman is not staying in power by the end of 2017.
Oh, by the grace of God.
by the grace of the Almighty Father in heaven above.
By the ultimate grace of God, El Shaddai.
Robbie!
She shall not be in power.
Just don't start speaking in tongues. We're not in church, people.
Yeah.
Listen, we need to catch them slipping in fields of wheat. Yeah. Trust me. We need to catch them sleeping in fields of wheat. Come on, G.
you
got it right, Flavor. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's my
GB. Boy, I think everything's more or less been said, you know, passionately as well. Mm-hmm. But the truth will come to light. The truth will come to light. And I think that they definitely need to be compensated to the best of the ability of the government,
sure. You
know, to show that, rah, we messed up. Mm-hmm. Here's our peace offering, you know? Mm. So, there definitely needs to be peace, and you know, people need to understand that hopefully it was a one-off, it won't happen again. And you know, people need to unite and stick together, because it's nice to know that something like this can happen and people will come together and look after each other. I mean, a thought that came to my head was all the local Premier Inns or little hotel Novotel that no one's really using, because London don't really get no heat like that. You know, just open 2-3 rooms to people. Yep. That's something, you know, I think everyone should start using their initiative to think, not be selfish, you know, start helping, giving a helping hand. And all this gentrification, everything that's going on, yeah. Listen, if all the working people went back to their respective countries, they won't have nothing here. Mm. You get me? So respect those who work for you and work hard and who's good at their job as well. You get me? So,
I'm not going to lie, I thought about that thing before, and it's probably a whole complete different podcast, but should we just all go back home?
Yeah.
I thought about it,
but that's listen, a completely different podcast.
Let me go
podcast,
build my
bro.
Own community, because I'm done with this. Let me go that's home. You know?
My dad wants to.
My mom does that all the time.
What do you think, bro?
She's like, rob this England and then go.
There's different ways to look at it. And I want to try to answer this where I don't dive into another topic too much, but
In the spirit of rounding up,
what should happen is the victim should be rehoused in the same location, better facilities, better living arrangements. The reality is it's not going to happen. Mm. And
it's a different viewpoint.
I mean, again, different topic, but the media, the government, it will all get worse. And we could put so many things in place to try to better it, so many things to counteract what they're doing, but it's not going to happen. It's being done for a purpose. And, you know, I don't want to step on another subject, so I'll leave it there. But it's unfortunate that no matter how hard we work, you know, things aren't going to change, even though they should. So, yeah. Hashtag read revelations.
Hey, hashtag read revelations. There you go.
Hey, that's it. That's a revelation is the end. That's it.
Revelation is the end. Real talk, Philippe.
Huh? Needed.
Really?
Well, a bit more.
Theresa May has given an apology.
We said someone needs to be held accountable. That's kind of an apology.
I think an apology should be held. An apology has been.
I think an apology and more compassion needs to come from the people that control the country, man. I think we need to see more heartfelt. Like compassion, man. I think that's what is missing. You're getting it within the community, but the people that actually run the country haven't showed it, neither in their actions or, you know, in some of the ways that they've been speaking about the incident. So I think people need to be compensated, and people need to be housed and back in the areas that they know as home, man. You can't take people out of the home for something that you caused, effectively. So,
The Bible does say pray for your leaders, isn't it?
And pray for your leaders, man. So that's what we can do. We can pray for our leaders, man. And we definitely will be doing that.
Theresa May is our leader right
Theresa
now.
Theresa May right now. Just pray. She's listen, in all fairness, yeah, I stand with you lot. She's had a mad month.
Had a
she's
mayor.
Brought it on herself partly, but
had a mayor.
She's just talking waffle.
We need to pray
answer questions directly in that.
Trust me, man.
We and a lot.
Yo.
Well, I want to say thank you to all the guests for joining the point today. We are going to leave this one with the Grenfell Tower charity single called A Bridge Over Troubled Water. It's the point. Peace.
Yeah, I don't know where to begin, so I start by saying I refuse to forget you. I refuse to be silenced. I refuse to neglect you. That's for every last soul up in Grenfell, even though I've never even met you. Cause that could have been my mum's house. Or that could have been my nephew. Now that could have been me up there. Waving my white plain tee up there. With my friends on the ground trying to see up there. I just hope that you rest and you're free up there. I can't feel your pain, but it's still where it is. Went to the block just to chill with the kids. Troubled waters come running past. I'ma be right there just to build
when
you a bridge, yo.
Weary. And feeling small. When tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough. Friends just can't be found like a bridge over troubled water.
Pain in my heart, my community's moving me. Choose to gleam as we're facing the dark.
When you're down and out, when you're on the street, or leaving for. Down.